former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Pritchard with you. Michael Lombardi north of the border right now doing some great promotional work for his book up in Calgary. We are live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. And this week, there are going to be, Pritch, three very important pro days for a lot of people. And so CJ Stroud is going to be doing his pro day tomorrow, followed by Bryce Young on Thursday, and then Will Levis on Friday. Where things sit right now in terms of the odds at BetMGM, CJ Stroud is your favorite to go number one overall. The Carolina Panthers currently hold that top overall pick after the deal that they made with the Bears. He is minus 225 to go number one overall, followed by Bryce Young at plus 275. Anthony Richardson there at 4-1. Levis 14-1. And Jalen Carter 80-1. The expectation is that it's going to be either Stroud or Bryce Young.
Right, right.
You very firmly have stood by the fact that you believe it's going to be CJ Stroud.
I do. I do. I mean, I know we talked to Michael Lombardi yesterday about this, and there's so much to love about CJ Stroud. Now, he threw at the combine, and I don't know how much more impressive he's going to be throwing at his pro day. But you are going to see him run the 40. You are going to see him do some drills. You are going to see him do some footwork things. You're going to put him through the test in that regard. And I think C.J. Stroud is going to impress even more, especially up there in, on his own territory, too. So now the big reveal happens, though, with Bryce Young. You know, is the big reveal going to be so big that it makes you overlook the fact that he's barely 5'10"? I mean, barely. 3/16 of an inch.
He's 5'10 and a quarter.
Right.
He's over 5'10.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, yes.
Come on.
He is.
Give him his due.
I will, barely. Michael talked about this, that he has an upward throwing motion. Like, you know, he's.
He's not concerned with balls being batted down with Bryce.
Yeah. But I'm concerned about his health. I'm not concerned about his ability at all. I think Bryce Young is very, very talented. It's just the sample size that I know of, the history of the game that I know of, that instance where Bryce Young, and again, C.J. Stroud could get hurt. We saw Trey Lance, a bigger quarterback, get hurt. Dak Prescott's gotten hurt. Hell, Patrick Mahomes got hurt before the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts got hurt, came back. I get it. But at that size, you know, we saw Tua get slung around, and he suffered concussions, you know, whiplash, and I think that, you know, is a realistic possibility for Bryce Young. I mean, I know he can escape the pocket, but there's a lot of quarterbacks that escape the pocket. Remember Kyler Murray? He could escape the pocket. Yeah, but no, he can't anymore. Now, I mean, he blew out his knee. I get that. But these defensive linemen and these defensive ends are so quick and so agile that you look at a quarterback in college and they can escape the pocket, but in the National Football League, all of a sudden they can't. And there's a big reason why they say that quarterbacks need to win championships from the pocket. I mean, Patrick Mahomes became the ultimate pocket passer, and he won a championship on one leg. Whereas Bryce Young, with that body, I just don't know if he can hold up to the rigors of this league past 5 years. That's how I'm looking at this. Now, if you're looking for a quick hit and a guy, you know, for the first 5 years could do wonders for your organization, I think Bryce Young, you should draft him. Absolutely draft him. But past that, if you're looking long-term, the durability of that player, I think, comes into question.
The physical stature is certainly the quality that's going to worry you. He's not thick like a Kyler Murray, to your previous example, or a Russell Wilson, for being a smaller quarterback. That 204 pounds even that he did weigh in on at the combine was a manufactured 204 pounds, right? He played largely around like that 185 playing mark. But I mean, he's still young enough that I think he's going to fill out more. I think there's potential still for him to put on weight. Where the concern probably comes is if you are expecting him to come in and play immediately, right? And that is the hope. I mean, Frank Reich has said whatever rookie quarterbacks that they draft is going to get a lot of reps and hopes that he can play right away. One thing that I think is interesting about the dynamic in Carolina is that Frank Reich, I think, very clearly, at least based on the reports and his history with quarterbacks, like C.J. Stroud is who fits the profile of size and everything for him, right? I mean, Stroud's arm strength isn't elite, but the accuracy is, mm-hmm. right? His touchdown to interception ratio mm-hmm. is really, really tremendous. But while Reich seems to be leaning C.J. Stroud, a lot of the reports have seen that he and owner David Tepper are a little bit split on that, and that Tepper does lean toward Bryce Young. I think that's one of the elements as well why Michael Lombardi has come in on this show multiple times and said that he thinks that he would give Bryce Young the edge. My thing is with the betting market, because of that separation, I'm just surprised to see C.J. Stroud as such a big favorite. Like, I would think this would be, I saw Femi Abebefe tweet this earlier today, and I completely agreed with it, that it should be more of a pick'em type mm-hmm. of a price between these two quarterbacks versus how severely different we have seen the market change over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, because I think, and you mentioned this to begin the hour, Stormy, you're going to have all these pro days. And, mm-hmm. and so Bryce Young to impress this week is going to be there. I think the wow factor could be there. And you're going to see this guy up close and personal, and he could sway you. I mean, he could sway Frank Reich if he already has captured Tepper in terms of, you know, his ability. And certainly, you know, as an owner, you want that guy as your CEO. You want that guy mm-hmm. as the face of your franchise. And there's nothing wrong with that. And C.J. Stroud, he's really not going to impress you much more than he already has throwing the football. Now, he could with the 40. He could with the agility and all that. But I think the tape already has revealed that about C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, to me, is out of the box and ready to go. I mean, I think you don't waste time. You certainly put him under center with the number one unit right away. You know, Bryce is going to be interesting. You know, what kind of system? We know the system that Frank Reich runs, right? Yeah. And I mean, it is suited for Bryce Young. I get that. But then also, when you look at the sample size from Frank Reich's point of view and who he played behind and how big Jim Kelly was and what they did with that style of offense, and then him as a quarterback himself, I mean, and then having Carson Wentz in there, right? And having all these other guys. I mean, Nick Foles as a backup quarterback. It's like all these projected bigger quarterbacks that Frank Reich has been around. All of a sudden, is he going to change his ways mm-hmm. and change how he views the game and goes the Bryce Young route?
Well, I mean, the recent track record of success hasn't exactly been particularly
no,
great with what
right?
Frank Reich has done with quarterback. I'm just like, I'm, you know, playing devil's advocate here a little bit here. And I do, and I don't know how much stock you put into things that Bill O'Brien says, but something I found very interesting that he said to me and some of my colleagues when we covered the Sugar Bowl this year mm-hmm. was that Bryce Young is the smartest quarterback that he has ever coached. He coached Tom Brady. And so I think that's significant.
Yeah, you know, how do I put this? You know, coaches can overstate things at times.
I understand that. And you know, I understand pumping the tires of your quarterback.
Yeah.
But that's like a very big statement,
right?
In my opinion.
Right.
And for Nick Saban to follow up calling him brilliant and saying that to him that the size is not a factor because of how impressive he is with maneuverability mm-hmm. and what we've been talking about, the ability to like still grow into his body more. But hey, let's round out some of this quarterback talk, because Mel Kiper put out another edition of his mock draft 3.0 at this point. He's going to do another one after the pro days are concluded. Mm-hmm. But this one just kind of after the general free agency period is shaking things out a little bit differently. He has the four main quarterbacks that we have all been talking about so much. So C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson, all going in the top five.
Right. Wow. That's crazy. But it could happen. I think the Jalen Carter situation has made him probably fall a little bit, I think, in the mock drafts. And then also you got to consider the mocks are need-based as opposed to the best player available kind of situation. And I think when you look at the teams at the top of the draft, you know, the Carolina Panthers, Houston, the Colts, the Cardinals, certainly, if they do trade up and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got the Seattle Seahawks, you know, benefiting from a draft situation, too, with Denver. You know, that's kind of interesting. That's a luxury pick to me for Seattle, you know, at five that they got from Denver. Do you put it on a reach player like Anthony Richardson? I mean, he could sit behind Geno. And that's the mock, and you're talking about with Mel Kiper. But I don't know if there's a need there right away, you know, or do you go out and get the best player available to help out that defense mm-hmm. that you drafted so well for already, you know? And I think there's a ton of defensive players out there. I mean, if all the quarterbacks are that much in demand, I mean, you're going to get a Will Anderson available to you, right? Or somebody right. like that, or one of these corners to go along with I think it's Waylon or Wheeler. Or I can't
Wheeler,
remember,
yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, the corner that's a fine corner for Seattle. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's opportunities for teams to get better immediately, more so than certainly looking at a quarterback. But I know through time, Mel has really focused on the need aspect of football teams.
How far do you think that the Cardinals would be willing to trade back? So you have the Colts that go up and take that three, but mm-hmm. I mean, you're still going to want to get one of those key defensive players available to you. And at four, it makes sense, but like, how far would you be willing to go?
Yeah. You know, a defensive minded head coach too now, and a really, really, really young staff, a raw staff. I mean, they're looking for direction when it comes from a GM standpoint, executive level, all the way through coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So your guess is as good as mine about the Cardinals on this one. I mean, I think if you are a defensive minded head coach, certainly you're going to try to focus there if you can. It's no telling. I mean, I don't have any clue what Cardinals are going to do here.
There are a few more angles that I still want to get into with the draft. So I know we have to take a quick break here, but maybe we'll revisit it on the other side of this break. We also have Josh Applebaum coming up this hour as well. BSN Sports Betting Analyst, host of the Morning Bets Show. He'll give us some numbers and where money is moving for some of these big Sweet 16 games. But when we come back, let's continue our draft conversation. Keep it locked right here on the Lombardi Line. How important is that first round pick for the Jets when it comes to the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com. Check out the current betting splits data. If you want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. And I'm sure our guy Josh Applebaum will help us out as well with some of the money movers and shakers in the Sweet 16. We have him on in about 15 more minutes, Stormy Bonantoni, and former NFL longtime wide receiver Mike Pritchard on the program today. Continuing our talk about kind of some of these draft odds and where players might end up. Mm-hmm. We mentioned obviously the top two quarterbacks on the board. Well, there's not a consensus number one. There's certainly a consensus number two that it is CJ Stroud and Bryce Young as those top two quarterbacks in this draft. But then there's Will Levis there, quarterback out of Kentucky, that seems like somebody who, while his combine performance was kind of like, I guess, forgettable when you have Anthony Richardson, mm-hmm. who has all the like record-breaking this, right. record-breaking that, he's somebody that maybe at his pro day could have a real opportunity to show teams that he can be better than what maybe his game tape or what his combine performance was.
Yeah, I mean, Will Levis, all he has to do is fine-tune things. I mean, I think he approached the combine as if he wanted to impress with his arm strength.
He said he's got a cannon, right. and he wants to show it off.
And tape will reveal that. Tape will show that. And so, you know, maybe your hero is Josh Allen now or whoever, you know, a big quarterback like that. But once the combine is over with and he's going to get some instruction – he's also going to have some personal coaching like all these guys have. And so he'll go out on his pro day and he'll fine tune everything that he did at the combine. And you're right. So, I mean, I think he's going to go out there and be impressive. You know, throwing to his left needed to improve. His footwork needed to improve a little bit. I think his arm strength was very evident. And, you know, accuracy too. I mean, quarterbacks are always working on their accuracy. But one of the things and one of the aspects that will really help Will Levis is if he can take in instruction and apply it. Because that's what coaches want to see. They want to see if you can take in and process and apply instruction. And if he can do that, then, yeah, certainly he's got a bright future. But also, I think he can also climb the draft board as well.
He is someone who, like, in college playing at Kentucky, mm-hmm. you are at a slight talent deficit than some of the bigger teams, but you have to play the Alabamas and Georgias and, you know, Tennessees with what they were doing. But you're not having the same quality of players. His offensive line play wasn't particularly good. And there were moments where you saw him be the type of player that could help overcome some of those deficits. And then moments, obviously, where you didn't. So I'm still very curious of the type of player that he's going to be. Because on an NFL roster, you have the best talent around.
You do. You do. And okay, can he evolve? Can he get better? I mean, I think that's a projection. That's an evaluation. There's generations of the league that I can, and I've had experience with, like John Elway at Stanford. Stanford wasn't a great team, right? But when you watch John Elway play in college, I mean, the guy was incredible. So he distinguished himself that way. Same thing with Josh Allen. I mean, up there in Wyoming, wasn't really that great, great team, but you could see some ability from that player. And I think that's true for Will Levis, you know, and if you can distinguish yourself that way and have an opportunity, remember the draft is just your launching pad too. So I think from an evaluation standpoint, you love the size, you love the 6'4", the 230, the dimensions, he's going to grow and he's going to get stronger. He's also going to evolve and become that pocket passer with a strong arm that that a lot of teams are coveting right now. So again, his opportunity is right in front of him. I think he'll impress at his combine and therefore, you know, probably represent the top part of the draft as well.
In Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, he has the Indianapolis Colts trading up with the Arizona Cardinals to take Will Levis. That would make Levis the third quarterback off the board in this draft. At DraftKings, Anthony Richardson is currently a minus 140 favorite to be the third quarterback off the board. Levis plus 380. So if you do think that that's a possibility where Will Levis would have the edge over Anthony Richardson, a good plus money bet on the board available right now at DraftKings. I want to go a little bit farther down the draft. Pick number 13, owned by the New York Jets. And obviously, there's been so much talk over the past week. Aaron Rodgers has made his intentions clear that he wants to play for the New York Jets. However, the ball is in the Green Bay Packers' court at this point, and they are trying to figure out compensation. I wonder how much of the holdup on getting this deal done is surrounding this 13th overall pick this year.
Yeah, you know, I don't, is it the pick, is it money? I mean,
I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but I could see this maybe being a sticking point where the Jets are like, no, we want to get an offensive lineman here, or like we want to get something else to build up our team and help out this new wonderful multi-MVP quarterback that we're bringing in. And the Packers are saying, we're giving you Aaron Rodgers. We need this pick this year.
Yeah, also $60 million.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But so, I just feel like the leverage is in Green Bay's court.
Totally in Green Bay's court. I mean, because you have the desperation now for the Jets, and Green Bay knows that because the quarterbacks, I mean, look
what
at the
other options do they have?
Carson Wentz, I mean, what are you going to do there, right? And do you stick with Zach Wilson? You know, okay, you could do
hell
that.
Hell or high water.
Right? They still could do that. I mean, maybe that's the Jets thinking or their process is like, look, we have a high draft choice, and maybe with this new system and Nathaniel Hackett, he can do wonders for him. I mean, there could be some of those thoughts inside the building. I doubt it, though. I mean, I think they really want Aaron Rodgers. You know, it is so similar to Brett Favre, but what Brett Favre did is he forced his way out of Green Bay. Remember, Brett Favre retired and then came back in training camp, and Green Bay had to get rid of him. And so, you know, from that, in that regards, you know, he goes to the Jets. Now, it wasn't ideal because he had a bad outing with the Jets. And I think if you're Aaron Rodgers and if you're the Jets, you want him there sooner than later to help him with the new system or with the system, the same system he's familiar with. But now he's got his players and get familiar with the players. So you want that process to begin as soon as possible. So the onus is on the Jets, and Green Bay is holding their feet to the fire. But I mean, Green Bay is playing with fire, in my opinion, because, again, that's $60 million if the Jets walk away. And now you've promised the future to Jordan Love.
Yeah, you've committed at this point.
Exactly. And
Aaron Rodgers. Publicly and privately.
And Aaron doesn't want to play for you anymore. He said goodbye publicly. So I don't know. I think it gets done right around the draft time because that's really when – okay, if you're the Jets, you're going to get off of that 13th pick if you really are desperate for Aaron Rodgers.
And I don't compliment Aaron Rodgers in his, you know, personal life and the way that he handles situations very often. But I did like when he went on the Pat McAfee show and was kind of talking about the situation, that he said, I am not the holdup here.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's trying to blame me as being the reason that this deal isn't working out. And this isn't on me at this point. Another draft angle here I thought was interesting, looking at Kuiper's draft, mock draft here, was Jalen Carter going at 6 to the Lions. And obviously he shows up at his pro day, 9 pounds over what he weighed in at the combine. He was dealing with a lot of off the field issues with regards to the car accident that took place after the national championship. But that he and like a lot of people, I don't know how many people you've talked to about Jalen Carter specifically, but a lot of people that I've talked to and I trust in the NFL don't think that he's going to drop very much, if at all, in this draft.
No, he shouldn't. The talent really supersedes everything else. I mean, I think there's certain teams, like the Raiders probably will avoid that because of Henry Ruggs. And it really, really too soon from, you know, from a business standpoint, maybe you avoid that. But everybody else, I think, because you know the outcome, you know that it was a misdemeanor, you know that he no contest, you know he's on probation. Now, as a way to concern, I'm here to tell you that big guys struggle with their weight all the time. And it's just the nature of the beast when it comes to that. It's the reason why we have weight clauses in our contracts, because, you know, they want you to be a fine-tuned athlete. And so that discipline, I think from a team standpoint, you're not worried about the weight gain from combine to his pro day. You just want to know if he's disciplined enough, or can you convey that to him, and will he understand that, that he needs to control that. So once you're comfortable and confident in that regard as a coach, you know, and certainly as an executive, I think you'll select a guy like Jalen Carter.
For the first defensive player selected, Alabama's Will Anderson is a minus 330 odds-on favorite. Jalen Carter plus 550. Do you think that there's any value in potentially betting Carter to be the first defensive player off the board?
I mean, even if you have the run on quarterbacks early like that, it gets – okay, so here's where I'm looking at in terms of that first player from a defensive standpoint. I could see a corner going pretty high too. Because you do have these 6'1", 6'2" corners, and we saw Sauce Gardner, we saw Whelan – from Seattle really do wonders in the league. And this is a position that is not even talked about as much as everybody else right now.
We will have to wait and see. We still got a whole month before the draft takes place in late April. We're going to step aside when we come back. Josh Applebaum of the Market Insights Pod, VSiN contributor, he will join us coming up next on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball. Yes, I said baseball this season with our MLB betting guide, because the season is right around the corner. It's available right now. We've got futures, team previews, and best bets. Steve Mackinnon has power ratings on every single team. Plus, Adam Burke breaks down how the new MLB rules can impact us as bettors. So whether you bet baseball every single day or you're just looking for some valuable futures bets, our betting guide has it all. Sign up today. Get full access to VSiN for 30 days for just $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. I am not mentally prepared for baseball yet. We have March Madness going on right now. NBA getting set for the playoffs. NHL getting set for the playoffs. My brain just is not ready here. So hopefully Josh Applebaum can help us make some sense of some things. VSiN Sports Betting Analyst, host of the Morning Bets and Market Insights podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Josh, like, are you prepared for another sport to kick off right now? Like, I can't. My brain can only take so much.
Stormy Pritch, it's great to be with you. And I'm kind of with you, Stormy. There's a lot going on right now. Obviously, the attention is on March Madness. Speaking of baseball, though, I can't wait for this game tonight. USA against Japan. Yeah. Patriotic play is only, you know, laying a minus 135 here with the U.S. Laying a short price. But I did notice that line dipped a little bit. I think the U.S. was like minus 140 down to minus 130. But I'm with you, Stormy. To me, I'm looking for some futures right now. So I'm waiting for the next batch of data. I want to put in my win totals first, some of my division bets here, and then kind of start grinding the day-to-day with MLB. So I think MLB is a really unique sport just because, you know, you can't just pick and choose when you bet it. Either you're all in, sweating it every day for 6 months to me, keeping your finger on the pulse, or maybe you kind of look towards some other sports. But I would just say I'm interested in kind of the rule changes, and I know Adam Burke's going to do a great job to explain this, but the pitch clock, you know, how this will speed up the game. You've already seen in spring training, these games are much quicker. They're only like 2.5 hours. It used to be like 3 or 3.5. So I'm thinking, does that benefit the offense? Does that benefit the pitchers? You've heard pitchers say they like it. You've seen hitters say that they don't like it when they have to, you know, step out and can't, you know, switch their gloves and spit in their gloves and do all the things that they're used to doing. So I'm wondering if unders early on could be the play here with the advantage to the pitchers and basically the hitters having their routines thrown off.
You know, Josh, as a data-driven better, I mean, if there's one sport out there that's driven by data, it's baseball and numbers and metrics and all that. It's like, do you have, I don't know, a formula or an edge that you feel that can help you catch up once they do throw out that first pitch?
Yeah, Pritch, I think it's a great question. You and I, you know, did so many shows betting across America, and I know one system that you liked were those divisional dogs. So one thing that I look for is the familiarity. You see it like in the NFL playoffs as well. You know, the one thing that screws you up a little bit this year, though, is typically I think there were 19 division games per year. The schedule's been changed a bit. I think it's down to 13, so you'll have fewer of these options here. Like, you know, Red Sox are playing the Yankees. Whoever's the dog, you know, takes a little bit of a bite at the apple at some of these divisional dogs. So line movement's critical, obviously. Looking at starting pitchers, they have a huge effect on the number. And then also, you know, looking at live line opportunities, you know, a cash bullpen, maybe you're betting on a team sixth, seventh inning to come back. Great live line opportunities. But again, pitchers dominant, and I'll be looking at a lot of those divisional dogs this year.
Good stuff. And I love that you're already throwing out a World Baseball Classic bet. Like, let's just get baseball in
right, why not?
Looking to some more action, though, that we have tonight, especially in hockey, 13-game slate in the National Hockey League tonight. I know one game you were looking at was Red Wings and the St. Louis Blues. Detroit here's lost 10 of their last 12, plus 120 in St. Louis. The Blues here minus 140 on the line I'm looking at. What do you see?
Yeah, Stormy, same thing here. I'm going to go with St. Louis. By the way, huge hockey night. I'm going to have quite a few bets here in the NHL with a 13-game slate. But a couple things going on with this one, Stormy. Number one, line move to St. Louis. So I'll be on the Blues here. They open around minus 130, minus 140. You've seen them creep up closer now to around minus 140, minus 145. So you're matching quite a few systems here. But the number one system that I'm looking at is a rest versus tired play in favor of St. Louis. If you look at Detroit, you mentioned it, Stormy, they've really struggled here, losing a bunch of games recently. They played last night. Now you got to turn around and play again tonight. So they're playing their third game in 4 days. You look at St. Louis, they're the rested spot here. They haven't played since Sunday. And if you look at these rested home favorites playing a team on a second leg of a back-to-back, they've been really good historically. They're about almost 70% the last 4 years. So that would match with St. Louis. Also in net, I think there's a big advantage to St. Louis here. You know, both teams have traded away a bunch of guys. They're kind of punting on the year, but St. Louis might be getting some energy from this young goalie that they called up. I can't even pronounce his name, Stormy. Joel Hofer. I don't even know how you say his name, but this kid lit up the AHL. He's come in so far and gone 2-0 with a shutout. He's got a 1.02 goals against. So if you have a hot goalie here, a young goalie with something to prove, maybe battling for maybe the goalie of next year, to me, that kind of lights a fire under your team. He'll be going up against Hellberg. For Detroit, who's got a 2.96 goals against. So I'll be also looking, guys, maybe toward the over. It is 6.5. It's really juiced up over. And St. Louis is one of the best over teams this year in the NHL. They score a lot. They give up a lot. They're 40-23-6 to the over. But I like the line move to St. Louis, and I like this rest versus tired angle. So I'll be sweating the Blues tonight around minus 140.
Welcome to the club in terms of pronouncing hockey names there, Josh.
I know, Pritch. That was kind of an easy one against some of these other ones. Yeah,
yeah, so absolutely.
I should get that one right.
How about Minnesota, New Jersey? I mean, Minnesota, I'm seeing bets lopsided here. 73% what I'm showing in terms of the betting action and tickets here. What are you seeing in this matchup that's attracted to you?
Yes, same thing here, Pritch. A lot of action here on New Jersey Devils. So I'm going to go with the Devils here at home. They open around minus 160. They've been steamed up to around minus 170. I have a ton of matches on the Devils tonight. Non-division steam. So two teams from two different divisions take the team getting 10 cents of steam or more in their favor. Those teams are 59% this year with about a 5% ROI. Home faves with a line move in their favor in a non-conference matchup. So you get the last ice changer at home. You're expected to win. The lack of familiarity benefiting, quote-unquote, the better team. That would match with the Devils. That system is 64% this year. And then a sweet spot big favorite. If you're a favorite between minus 170 and minus 225, those teams are 69% this year. They've been really good historically to bet on in this spot as well. Jersey is 31-17 as a favorite. They've been really good at home. Minnesota just 5-11 as a dog. And also Minnesota, they are missing their best player here, Kapril Kaprizov. He's been banged up here quite a bit. He'll be out tonight. To me, it's a good spot to back the Devils. They had a three-game losing streak. Devils have been one of the best teams aside from my Bruins, it's really been the Devils been one of the biggest surprises this year. And they are in a spot at home. They lost three straight. Then you get a win. I think you might get some mojo going again for the Devils here. So I'll be taking the Devils in this spot. And also, guys, maybe you lean under. The total six is juiced up under, minus 115. Minnesota's been one of the best under teams this year, 38-29 to the under.
And see, Josh, a way we can avoid the pronunciation issues like Kirill Kaprizov, just go with the nicknames. Kirill the Thrill, he's out of the lineup.
Exactly, Stormy.
There you go. In the NBA tonight, a number of games on tap as well. The Cavs, a four-point favorite in Brooklyn, total sitting 218.5. The Nets have dropped three straight, four of their last six. Cavs have been playing some pretty good basketball lately. What do the numbers tell you?
Yeah, a lot of steam here, Stormy, going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the Cavs actually open as a very short favorite, like -1, -2. I woke up this morning, they're up to like 2.5, 3. Now continued movement, they're up to -4. So a ton of movement here toward the Cleveland Cavaliers. What I like about this one, you know, it's pretty much a pro and Joe bet split. I don't love the fact that you're getting around 75% of bets on the Cavs, but they're taking into account almost 90% of the money using our VSiN.com bet split. So it seems to me the public is just saying, hey, Cavs are a good team. Nets traded away their guys. Might as well just take the Cavs here. But pros, really, they don't care what the public's doing. They're not looking at percentages. They're betting based on their numbers. So I don't know if there's a ton of value left to lay the spread here. You know, you really wanted to target the Cavs, you know, -2, -3. But I'll go money line. It's -165. I don't think it's that bad of a price here. But we just got done talking about a rest advantage versus tired for the St. Louis Blues. A really big one here in the NBA as well with the Cavs, because the Cavs, guys, they haven't played in a while here. They haven't played since the 17th. You look at the Brooklyn Nets, they last played on the 19th. So that's a two-day rest advantage here for Cleveland. If you look at rested favorites, at least 4 days between your last game to your current game, those teams are 34-13 straight up 72% this year with a 7% ROI. So that would match here with the Cleveland Cavs. Also, you have a bunch of road refs. No Scott Foster here, but you do have a bunch of these guys, Mott, Kirkland, Gleick, all between around like 51 to 54% ATS to the road team. And you have seen the Nets, as you mentioned, Stormy, lose three straight. So I think when you get a team like the Cavs, you know, Donovan Mitchell, some of these older players getting 4 days off, I think it's a huge, huge benefit to them. So I'll go money line. I'll follow this team. Give me the Cavs to win this game.
Awesome stuff, yeah. Josh. Appreciate you, buddy. Anything you're getting excited for the Sweet 16? Anything you're getting ahead of?
So there's a couple I talked about last night with Tim and Sean, but there's been a lot of sharp money here on Michigan State. They're a really contrarian play. Everyone's taken Kansas State around 65-70% of bets, but Michigan State went from like a pick 'em all the way to -2. So it looks like Michigan State's a fade the trendy dog play. I'm also going to take a shot on Arkansas, Stormy. They went from like +4 down to 3.5. Musselman obviously can play that no one believes in us underdog chip on your shoulder type role. Then also UCLA Gonzaga. I know our friend Daniel Alvari will be happy about this, but I like UCLA in this one. Tickets are split down the middle 50-50. Public sees two good teams. How do you not take Zags in the points, but then how also do you not take UCLA at such a short number? But 50-50 bet split, yet UCLA went from around -1 to -2. So I'll be money lining UCLA in that spot.
And you're speaking Mike Pritchard's language. He likes the Bruins as well.
Ooh, that's right.
Let's go, Pritch.
Let's go.
Josh, thank you so much, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
Good stuff. Josh Applebaum, again, make sure you check out the Morning Bets and Market Insights podcast, both downloadable wherever you get your podcasts. And the Morning Bets one, it's awesome because he is on the East Coast specifically. For those of us on the West Coast, I wake up at 5 a.m. and that's already in my phone in the downloads.
right,
good to go there right away. We're going to wrap things up on the Lombardi Line when we come back. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, look out. You can also convert your BetMGM points to BetMGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining shows and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Rewards properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We are wrapping things up here live from Circa Resort and Casino. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Pritchard with you. And are you ready for some XFL, my friend?
Am I ready? I don't think so. I haven't been ready all season.
I mentally prepared you in the commercial break,
yes,
at least.
Yes, yes. No, I'm intrigued by this, though, because I've been watching you, as everybody has been, on Fox, sorry.
It's
on
ESPN. Well, a lot of my games been on FX.
FX,
yeah.
Okay, FX1. I'm used to seeing you on ESPN.
Yes.
But, yeah, you tune into Fox FX1.
It's still an ESPN mic flag.
Okay,
so.
Okay, nice. Maybe that's why I'm confused on it. Yeah. But you know what? I think I did notice that.
Yep.
So, but anyway, I've been intrigued about asking you questions about the XFL because I have – no idea how to bet it right now.
Well, it's very fun, I will say. And we're cool because we're through – it's only a 10-week season. Mm-hmm. So we're already halfway through the season at this point, which means we're at the beginning of the season. There wasn't a ton of information out there.
Right.
And you and odds makers are all just trying to figure out who the heck is even on this team, let alone if they're going to be good or not. And now we have some trends. Now we have some semblance of which teams are good, which teams are struggling, which teams – have the potential to get better as the season goes on.
Okay.
And so one team is still undefeated as of right now. It's the DC Defenders. Not only are they 5-0 straight up, but they're 5-0 against the spread as well at this point. And they are covering by an average of around 8.5 points per game. They started off the season, their first couple games against Seattle and Vegas. They were an underdog. And then since then, pretty much the market has adjusted and now they've been favored moving forward. But even this week, let me look at the number of their game this week, because I have them again taking on the Houston Roughnecks, who are 4-1 straight up and against the spread. Just a 2.5 point favorite at home. DC is one of two teams in the league that have a legit home field advantage. Mm-hmm. They play at Audi Field. It's their professional soccer stadium. So, you know, it looks full.
Right.
They have about 18,000 people that come out to these games. They have the beer snake going. The fans really care about it. They're a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And St. Louis also. I told you a little bit earlier. They this past weekend, they played DC. They lost that game, but they had 35,000 people in that building despite other major events going on in the city. So those are the two teams that I would say if you're looking, if they for whatever reason are an underdog at some point in the season or a short favorite at home, those are typically the types of teams that you would want to bet on with an actual home field advantage, because they play in a hub.
Yeah.
They practice in a hub in Arlington. Mm-hmm. So all of these teams are in Texas together throughout the week. They're going to hop on a plane together to their destination. Right. So home field advantage doesn't exist quite as much in this league as it has other leagues.
Yeah, in terms of travel and all that, I mean, it's the same for both teams, right? Yeah. So that's why I was like, okay, how do you distinguish that at all? But then execution too, like, I mean, take on the sample size of the league, which teams are starting to really look the part when it comes to execution and consistency?
Yeah, so DC far and away for me. And they are one team that, I mean, you're not going to want to bet them now. They opened the season in the 6-1 range, and now they're +175, the shortest shot as the lone undefeated team remaining. And they play in the easier of the two divisions as well. But they have the ability to utilize quarterback run in a way that other teams do not.
Okay.
So Jordan Ta'amu and Derek King are their quarterback tandem. It seems like Ta'amu kind of he's their guy in the pass game, but can also utilize his legs. And then King comes in and kind of cashes off the quarterback run touchdowns in the red zone type of a situation. But they work really, really well together and have had a lot of success. Houston has looked great all season long, to the point where, like, it looked almost like when everybody week one was just trying to figure out who they are, that they had already been playing for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Last week was the first time they got tripped up.
Okay.
And they went down 15-0 to Seattle, ended up rallying in the second half. And because XFL rules are a little bit different, they gave themselves a chance to still come back and win at the end, weren't able to do it. Seattle as a team in terms of futures, I think, is very interesting. I actually said on the air in one of the games I was covering week three, when Seattle was 0-2 at the time, They were 10 to 1. And I was like, if there's a team to invest in, I think it would be them. I still think that now at plus 650, the fourth shot on the board to win it all, because while they started the season slow, they've now strung together three straight wins. They are coached by a veteran coaching staff and Jim Haslett, who's actually a former NFL coach of the year, offensive coordinator June Jones. They have the most effective offense in the league in terms of like yards per game and moving the football. The points just haven't really added up for them as much, but recently they've started to figure things out. And them beating Houston last week was a really big deal.
You had me at June Jones.
There you go. Run and shoot, baby. That's right.
He was my offensive coordinator in Atlanta. So he's the offensive coordinator for Seattle?
Yep.
Did not know that.
Yep. So wow. There you go. And so
are they running a run and shoot?
They are.
What am I doing? I should have been betting
this. You got to be betting the XFL.
I'm
there
looking at
go.
Their point differential, too, for a 3-2 team. I mean, certainly that stands out to me.
What their problem has been Ben DiNucci turning the football over.
Okay. Come on, Ben.
And even in their wins, he's still been turning it over. Right. So if he can just, like, rein it in a little bit. I mean, Josh Gordon's on that offense. So Jakor Pearson, he's a shorter receiver, but he is like the fastest guy in the league. Super fun to watch. So I like Seattle. I think that they're really talented and really good. Okay. A couple other trends just I think are of note. The Renegades only just this past week got their first cover when they beat San Antonio as a dog, but 1-4 against the spread. They've been profitable to fade. Favorites, there's not really much going on. Favorites, 10-2 against the spread on this 10-8-2 against the spread this season as a home favorite, 8-5 against the spread. So there is a slight advantage there, but not a ton.
Right.
As far as totals go, Defenders, Vipers, and Guardians, they are all 4-1 to the over. And the Renegades and Brahmas are 4-1 to the under.
Okay.
I have to show you this. Right? The Renegades and Brahmas played this past week. A low scoring game. Let me see what the final ended up being. But so low that I think it was like 22 or 24 total points.
Okay.
This week, their total is set at 32.5.
Wow. Wow.
In a league that, mind you, you can score 9 points on a touchdown.
Well, I mean, you still have to score, apparently. I mean, you still have to have those opportunities. Well, I want to know about
12-10 was the final. The Renegades beat the Brahmas 12-10.
I want to know about this quarterback giving away plays.
Yes.
I want to know this story.
Okay. So the Orlando Guardians, there was this whole to do early on this season about Quentin Dormady giving away plays to other teams. And I mean, Orlando has been getting blown out left and right. They do not have a win this season.
Right.
They did just cover though for me against Vegas this past weekend. So let's go Orlando with Quentin Dormady reinstated and playing for them. So basically I think this goes back to the whole thing about the hub where everybody is eaten in the same place. You're staying at different hotels, but you're all interacting with like similar facilities, similar people that you're working with. And I think that maybe something just got misconstrued or lost in translation to where they thought that he had leaked offensive plays specifically to another team or other teams, plural. But the league came back and determined, quote, that allegations of impropriety were unsubstantiated. So he is not only back in the league reinstated, but back on the Orlando Guardians. And he came in this game against Vegas. And like I said, they did lose the game. It was 35-32 final. But he came into that game at 256 yards, 22 of 25 passing, and 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
So I think they're glad to have him back because their offense has really, really struggled this season.
Yeah, it looks like they've been struggling. So with, I guess, the notion all these players have aspirations of going to the National Football League, it's like, how bought in are these guys? So, I mean, do you feel it at all when you're out there? How bought in? I mean, could that be an angle to use as well?
Yeah, and I think certain teams more than others as well, at least based on some of the sidelines that I've been on. Like, you can tell the guys that are really, really passionate and trying to make it to the next level. And they want to put their best foot forward in every possible way. And then there are teams that are, like, going back and forth with each
other.
Happy
to be in the hub.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to tell you who the teams are that have dissension, I guess. But teams that really have good camaraderie on them for sure have been DC, have been Houston, have been Seattle and St. Louis. Like, those are the teams that I've witnessed firsthand, those four specifically, that you can tell are really on a good trajectory. So we'll see how things play out this weekend, but I still can't get over that total 32.5 for football game. What is happening? That's a wrap on today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Same time, same place tomorrow. Come join us.